Galatians chapter 6, begin reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, "Be not deceived." Isn't it terrible how we deceive ourselves? The worst deceptions are not from society or even the devil, but we deceive ourselves. Here he's dealing with a man who is already warned not to think himself to be something when he's nothing. Because he deceives himself in verse 3. That's the same deception going on in verse 7. Be not deceived. Be careful with yourself. God is not mocked. Regardless of who you convince yourself of being, God knows who you really are. No wonder the psalmist said, ask the Lord to search him and try him and see if there be any wicked way in him. If it's left to ourselves who we are or who we think we are, we'll never know who we really are. Be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's been so much preaching from these three verses that has been done and will be done. And there is a positive side and a negative side. And on the negative part, certainly we need to be warning this generation of people that if you decide to sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. And there's so much of this, do things my own way, life is all about me, and they'll even throw out the excuse that God made me this way, and they blame this deception they have made with themselves that if I live to the flesh, as long as I'm happy, as long as I'm prospering, that's all that matters. But in the end, it leads to a way of destruction. But there is a positive side to this that I believe God has directed my heart to encourage you for just a couple of moments. And this is the fact that we have the wonderful privilege to sow to the Spirit. It is a honor, a privilege that God has given us as a child of God, that no longer are we under the bondage of living to the flesh and living to sin, but now we can live a life that reaps life everlasting. This is not accomplished by human means. It's not accomplished by our intellect or by our strength or even by our charisma or anything about us. This is a work of the Spirit of God and a fellowship that you and I can have with Him and a ministry that we can have through Him. We see first of all about this if you will, fruitful Christianity. This truth is that we have to sow. In verse number 7, he says that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, there must be some sowing done. The spiritual life is a life of hard work. It's a life of sowing. It's getting behind the plow. I know I am what I am by the grace of God, but I also know that God told me I have to yield my members to the Lord, that I have to bring my body under subjection. There is a responsibility on our part if we're ever going to sow in the Spirit. I heard the story of two farmers that they were looking at their crop after harvest season, and one of them looked at the other and said, "Man, I did a good job this year." And the other one, like many of us Baptist preachers would like to sound spiritual, said, "Don't you mean God did a good job this year?" The other farmer said, "Well, you should have seen this field before I got in here and started working." And that's the spiritual life. It's not something that you just start out and poof, you're spiritual. It takes dedication. I've been preaching 11 years and it still ain't got easier for me just to pray and read my Bible and bring my body into subjection. This flesh is as wicked as it was the day before I got saved, and I'm clothed in something that must be brought into subjection. We must learn to sow. There's no room for laziness or idleness, but we must learn to sow. Not only you got to sow, you got to have the Spirit. You see, this sowing to the Spirit, the purpose of all of this is that we might reap of the Spirit. Notice that he is not saying that if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap of the flesh. It's not that somehow you tap in to the Spirit of God and then it's your fruit, it's your success, it's you that prospers. Oh no, this is not your fruit. This is the fruit of the Spirit of God. You remember in the chapter before, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He did not say that it's your fruit, and he did not say that it's my fruit. Though we got to get in there and we got to work, you must realize it's God's fruit and not yours. Amen. It's God that does anything with us. That's why God could call a little blonde head, blue-eyed, a bashful boy at the age of 13, call him to preach and put him in a pulpit and fire him up, and God's blessed. I've seen people say, because it's not my fruit, it's not what I've done, it's not been my charisma or my outlines or my illustrations, it's been God that's done the work. I'm glad God can produce fruit in our life. You got to have the Spirit, and it's the Spirit of God that gives fruit. You see, any kind of fruit that it comes from our own efforts is corruptible fruit. I think of the story of D.L. Moody was walking the streets of Chicago, and a man stumbles out of a bar and bumps into him and said, I know you, you're D.L. Moody. You saved me in one of your meetings. And D.L. Moody said, you look like something I would save. Yeah. Amen. And we've all seen it in our own ministry and in others. If anything's done in the ability of the flesh, if it's only a work of the head and not something that the Spirit of God bursts in the heart, it don't last. Illustrations don't save people. Charisma don't save people. Ministries don't save people. The only thing that lasts is when the Spirit of God bursts something in their life. And I'm glad to report to you that God has given us this privilege to sow to the Spirit so that we can reap life everlasting. I would rather win one person to God that genuinely gets it than have a church filled with thousands of people that are only corruptible fruit. Amen. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. It's not our work. You got to sow. You got to have the Spirit. But there's a season to it as well. Verse number 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Can we all be honest? I'm just preaching to preachers, and I'm the youngest one here, and I'll just be the transparent, vulnerable one. The seasons sometimes are the most discouraging part of the ministry. It's those seasons. Doesn't the seasonal part of the ministry frustrate you sometimes? It seems like one moment, man, everything's great, and you're looking around going, man, God is really doing something. And then it seems like you don't see anything for months, sometimes even years. God has a seasonal work that he's doing. Now, something about this is there is a responsibility. No matter what season we're in, we need not be weary in well-doing. You see, God called us to preach the Word, to be instant, in season, and out of season. to preach with the same zeal, the same amount of time in prayer, the same effort, the same heart. It's not time to let up. It's not time to back up. But when things get hard and it's not the season you want to be in, it's not time to change. Buckle down and keep going for God. The reason why is because God's still keeping record. You see, there is hindered fruit. Can we just be honest? Sometimes the reason there's no fruit is our fault. Can we just be honest? There have been times where we look around and we think, man, why isn't this going better, Lord? I don't understand. And the entire time, God is trying to turn the light on with us that the problem's not with them. The problem's with us. There have been times that the fruit has just been hindered simply because God had to work something in my life. But can I also say this? Not only hindered fruit, but I think of a hidden fruit. I believe with all my heart that God hides some of our fruit from us. Because the truth is, we would look at some of our fruit sometimes and use it as a excuse to brag or to think something more of ourselves than we should. Maybe you can relate to this. I was preaching I was young, 14, I was preaching just a simple message on salvation, and I honestly, it was one of those that, you know, you get down and you think, Lord, have mercy. That was awful. That was awful. And you forget about it, honestly. It's one of those you don't try to remember. There's those times that you ain't gonna forget, and then there's those times that you just want to forget as quick as possible. And I'd forgot it. Now, I was 16. I was preaching a youth meeting in Blairsville, Georgia. And God had been meeting with us for a period of months. I'd preach this meeting once every month, and God had been meeting with us, and great things had been happening, and it was just amazing until that night, it seemed. And then everything just dove off again. I thought, Lord, have mercy, what did I do? I had a young lady come to me in that meeting. I'm discouraged. I don't know how you other preachers are, but man, I'm kicking the ground. I'm thinking, man, I made a mess of everything. Things have been going good, and here I go blowing it. And this young lady come up to me, and she said, you probably won't remember me, but this was a couple years ago in this certain church. You preached this certain message, and I got saved when I went home. And I never heard that. But in that moment, I needed that. God had hid that fruit from me. There's a missionary friend of mine that is actually working in North Korea now. I'd preached a message in Sand Mountain. I'd preached just a little 10-minute message in Sand Mountain that I completely forgot about. We end up in meeting together in Maryville, Tennessee at Tom Hatley's. And he gets up and testifies about how God had saved him when this young preacher got up and preached just a short message on Sand Mountain. And when God saved him, he just gave his heart to the Lord. Now he's a missionary to North Korea of all places. I mean, if you're going to North Korea, you really got it. The people don't just go to North Korea. And he pops up and says this, and everybody's nudging me saying, man, didn't you preach that message? And I'd forgot about it. But God knew in that moment that I needed that fruit because I'd been discouraged and struggling. And man of God, can I encourage you? You have no idea what God may be doing right now. God may be hiding your fruit and preparing your fruit to show you in the time you need it the most. God knows what he's doing. But then there's heavenly fruit. There may be some things we just never know about till we get to heaven. The judgment seat of Christ will be a terrible time where we will cry over what we didn't do for Christ, but to think we did anything for him. I believe there'll be a lot of rejoicing that day. To think we could do anything for the Lord of glory. What a wonderful privilege. It'll be a day of rejoicing that He could do one good thing with me. Just one. If He could do one good thing, that's more than I can do with myself. Amen. And it'll be a wonderful day when God begins to bring that fruit to the surface. I think we ought to just sow to the Spirit. Trust the Holy Ghost. Depend on Him more than anything or anyone else. And He'll get the job done. And I'm thankful for it. Amen.